Well, I would like for you to take your copy of God's Word. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse number 11. Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning reading at verse number 11. So I'd ask you to stand together with me as we read from God's Word this morning. The Bible says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning for the opportunity we've had to worship you today. And now as we turn our attention toward the written word, that we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us prepare our hearts for this time of the observance of the Lord's Supper, and that we might realize who we are and what our needs are at this moment. And so, Father, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide, and that you would just reveal yourself to us in a very clear way this morning. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want you to try and imagine what it would be like to come into the worship center today only to find that there was a wall erected in the sanctuary between the pew and the Lord's Supper table with no way to get to it, no access. How would that make you feel? Would it make you sad? Would it cause you to be curious as to why somebody would do such a thing? Would it cause you to desire to see the wall come down so that you could have access to the Lord's table? What would your thinking be if that were the case this morning? This morning, the Apostle Paul reminds us that at one time, there was a wall. There was a dividing wall. There was a barrier that was keeping us from the presence of God. And the reason the wall was there was because God is holy and we're not. And sin is the thing that separates us from God. And sin is the thing that always builds a wall between us and God. Archaeologists have uncovered an inscription from the outer wall of Herod's temple in Jerusalem, the temple that was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. And it carries on it a very stern warning from the high priest. And here's what it says: "No foreigner may enter into the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." That's a pretty stern warning from the high priest. Well, the Jewish temple was filled with partitions. There was the inner court of the priest and the temple proper containing the holy place and the holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. And access was limited to these sacred places to the Jewish priests, and only the high priest was allowed to go in the holy of holies one time a year on the Day of Atonement. And there were other divisions. There was the women's court, and there were the outer courts of the Gentiles that granted limited access to the sacred places within. So there was a time when there were many, many barriers between the people and between God. There were walls of partition, and each one of them represented the fact that the people were only allowed so much access to God, and that depended on who they were. Now, 99.9% of us here this morning would be considered Gentiles by birth. And that means that if we had lived at that time in that part of the world, we would have been positioned as far away from the presence of the Lord as we could be and still be present at the temple. We would have been totally separated from the presence of God. When you think about walls, what do? Well, they divide people. They either keep people in or they keep people out. They divide people. They keep us from our objectives. Sometimes when a person's having a bad day, what do they say? They say they've hit the wall. They've hit the wall where their goals are blocked. They cannot make access. They cannot make progress. But here's the good news this morning. Jesus Christ came to remove the barriers. He came to remove the wall of partition that was there before us. Look, if you would, at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For he, Jesus, himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace." And then go to verse 18. "For through him," through Jesus, "we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Paul is describing the strife, the difficulty between Jewish and Gentile believers. As the church became more and more non-Jewish, antagonism increased against the Jewish heritage and Christianity. They kind of clashed. Yet Paul is saying that a new person has been created, making all believers one in Christ. That when God looks, he doesn't see Jews or Greek or Gentiles. He sees one person. He sees us as being one in him. We've been reconciled. We've been made right with God through the cross. Those who are apart from Christ, those who are separated from Christ because of their sin, are in a bleak condition because they themselves have built a wall between themselves and God by their sin and by their rebellion from God. And this wall is insurmountable unless they turn to the one who can tear down the wall in their own lives. The only person who can do that is Jesus. And the only way it could have been done, and the only way it's done today, is because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now, verse 12 tells us, remember that at that time before Jesus died, at that time, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world. So when you look at the status of an unbeliever, here's what you find. You find someone who is separate from Christ. You find someone who is excluded from the citizenship of heaven. You find someone who is a foreigner when it comes to the things of God. You find somebody who is without God, and thus they are without hope. And ladies and gentlemen, all of us were in that position at one time or another before we received Christ. We did not know him, thus we were separated from him. It's sad to be in a position like that. That's a terrible position to be in, separated from Christ, without God and without hope, yet that is the plight of the lost. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're separated from God today. But I got great news for you. It doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Verse 13 says, but now, in Christ, and listen to this, you who were once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. So there's quite a difference between unbelievers and believers. I mean, when you think about believers, based on what he just said, believers are those who are in Christ. Believers are fellow citizens of heaven, no longer foreigners, no longer aliens, no longer outsiders. They are God's people, members of God's household, called to one hope. So those who are unbelievers have no hope. Those who are believers have all the hope in the world because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. You see, it's sin that keeps us from God. And it's this separation that results in death and judgment from God. Now, I got to help you understand something this morning. Jesus Christ did not come into this world for the purpose of judging this world. I mean, the world was already under the sentence of death, amen, before he ever got here. This world was already condemned. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to condemn the world, came to save the world, to declare us righteous and acceptable to God. We're very, very familiar with John 3:16, but sometimes we need to skip down a little bit, read John 3:17 and 18, for it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Listen to this. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. I don't think you heard me. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become right with God. We might begin to do the things that God wants us to do, the right things. There was a time when we all stood condemned before God. But all of that changed when Christ came into the world. All that changed. We were condemned before Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that we could have our sins forgiven. And once we have our sins forgiven, and once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, I love what Paul teaches in Romans 8:1. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No longer condemned. No longer condemned. But in a right standing with Almighty God. Now, people through the years have tried to scale this wall of separation that stood between them and God. And they try to do it with their good works. They've tried to become good enough to make themselves right with God. But on our best day, our good works are like filthy rags in his sight. We cannot make ourselves worthy of God's love and God's attention and God's forgiveness. We vainly attempt to clothe ourselves with holiness and only wind up with those filthy rags. And then there are other people. Other people try to convince themselves that there is no wall. There is nothing between me and God. They deny the reality of sin. There is no such thing as sin. I don't believe in sin. They rebuke the need to be saved. Well, they can rebuke it all day long. But there is still a wall there. There is still something that is separating them from God, whether they realize it or not. And yet the wall still stands, and it will remain unless they turn to the one who can tear down the wall in their lives. But you know, this morning, I'm very excited to announce to all of you that there is no wall. That there is no wall keeping us from receiving the bread and the cup this morning. There is no wall that's standing there between us and God. There is nothing that's separating us from a relationship with Jesus Christ. But partaking of the Lord's Supper without experiencing salvation is nothing but a waste of time. If you're here this morning and you have never, ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I need to let you know that Christ dealt sin a death blow at the cross. And when he did, when he died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, and the wall that had separated man from God was broken down. And because of that, you and I can have our sins forgiven. We can have access into the presence of Almighty God. We can live a life that's pleasing to God, because once you come to Him, your sins are forgiven and you no longer stand condemned in His presence. So, as we come to the Lord's table today, there are no barriers. There are no walls. There are no hoops to jump through. The only thing that will keep you from coming to the table this morning is your lostness. The fact that you don't know Christ as your Savior. The fact that you've never asked God's forgiveness for your sins. He paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary. But all of that, if you don't know Him, if you still have that wall built between you and Him, all of that can change this morning. Because He's willing to save the lost. And He's willing to forgive the saved. So that when we come to His table, we'll do it with clean hands and a clean and a grateful heart. The Bible says that He, Jesus, is the one who tore down the wall, destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He tore it down. It no longer exists. Anybody who has a desire to come to God can come to God. You may have thought, well, why in the world do they have this petition up between the Lord's table and us? Because of what I told you about. What if you came in here and it was like, I mean, what if it was a giant wall? It was built all the way across. There was no way for anybody to get here. That'd be a terrible thing. If we couldn't get to God, if we couldn't make ourselves right with God by confessing our sins and asking Him to come into our lives, there would be a wall of partition, a wall, a barrier of hostility, the Bible calls it. But you know what Jesus Christ came to do? Jesus Christ came to tear down the wall. He tore down the wall so that you and I could come into His presence. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for tearing the wall down. Thank You for making it to where we could come into Your presence and be blessed by You. And as we come to this time, Father, this morning in the service, to where we're going to partake of Your Lord's Supper. We're going to come before the and take the cup and the bread, and it's going to remind us of who You are and what You've done for us. I just pray right now, God, that if there's anyone in this place who does not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that they might realize that what's been standing between them and You has been gone. It's been gone a long time. And Father, they can come openly and freely into Your presence this morning. And they can be saved. They can have their sins forgiven. They can accept what you did for them on the cross. God, I pray that might happen to somebody here today. For those of us who are saved, but yet our life is not reflecting your light very well, I pray that we might examine our own hearts and our own lives before we come before your table and partake of these elements today. We can make sure that we're righteous in your sight because we have a desire to be and because you want us to be. So you've said that if we'll just confess our sins, you're able and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So maybe some of us here today need a cleansing. I'm sure all of us do in one way or another. And so over these next few moments now, I pray that we might prepare ourselves for this time, this special time, this precious time with you. And that we might give you thanks and we might rejoice over the fact that there is no wall. There is nothing that divides us. There is nothing that stands in our way of coming to you. And because of that, there's no condemnation any longer. Because Jesus came into this world to save the world. God bless this time of invitation. Some may need to be saved. Some may need to move their church membership. Some may just need to get in the altar and spend some time with you before we observe the Lord's Supper. Whatever the needs are, I pray that you'd meet those needs right here and right now. For it's in Jesus' strong and powerful name that we pray. Amen.